Good morning, everybody. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the reading that Sam has brought, and that every word is breathed out by you. I pray for myself now that you would speak through me, and I pray for all of us here and anyone who will eventually listen online, that we will hear what it is you want to say and apply it to our lives, that we might become that bit more like Jesus today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you've got your Bibles open, it'll be great to keep them that way as we go through. I'll be talking about what we've heard. So we are in a series on our values, as we know. This is number 4, Embracing Adventure. I wonder what the word adventure brings to your mind. Which people, which places, which activities? Maybe if we had time, we could go round and hear some very different answers. Yesterday, I was watching a David Attenborough show, and I don't know why, but these people were jumping into a really deep cave, and it took them ages before they pulled their parachute. I don't know what would possess people to do that at all. How do you even think about considering if that's a good idea or not? But to some people, that's an adventure. For others, it could be going out hiking, or I don't know. There is a TV adventurer. I'm sure we all know him. He's called Bear Grylls. I imagine we don't know him personally, but you know who I'm talking about. Bear Grylls, he does all kinds of crazy things, outdoorsy stuff on TV. And he said that doing the Alpha course was his greatest adventure, which is quite a recommendation, really, for what we're doing at the moment on Monday nights. Please pray. We've only started, we've only just done one session. Tomorrow is all about why did Jesus die? Please pray for the Alpha course and for tomorrow night, that the guests who are currently on it will also consider it their greatest adventure. We are talking about Nehemiah this morning, as we've heard. I don't know if you know this, but it is a fact that he is the shortest man in the Bible. Have you heard that one? Nehemiah? You've heard of it? Okay. Nehemiah. It had been about 50 years since Babylon had captured Jerusalem and taken many of God's people away into captivity. The book of Ezra, which comes just before Nehemiah, was written at the same time, and originally they were part of the same book, as I understand it. Both books talk about rebuilding work. The rebuilding had started in the book of Ezra, but in Nehemiah we join the story where Nehemiah realizes the need for Jerusalem's walls to be rebuilt, and he has a burden for that work to be carried out. If you've got your Bible open, you might want to read the last verse of chapter 1, just before our reading starts. The last sentence in that verse says, "I was cupbearer to the king." So we know that Nehemiah was helping to serve the king what he was drinking. Part of that would have been he was testing it probably for quality, but also certainly for poison, to make sure the king wasn't poisoned. So Nehemiah was close to the king, physically, in close proximity, serving him. He was a taste tester. Now, next Sunday morning, we have an adventure of our own starting right here in this building. And I'm glad you're sitting down for this, because we are trialing filter coffee instead of instant. We are on an adventure of our own, folks. And I think Nehemiah, as a taste tester, would have been down with this. I think he would have really approved of what we're doing. But what does it mean for us to embrace adventure with God? An acronym has come into my mind this week, and I'll talk us through it as we go. It's the word POP. Very memorable. Prayer, opposition, and power. I think these are often associated with us going on an adventure with God. And what I mean by going on an adventure with God is really following Jesus in daily life, however his Spirit leads us, which was very different It was very different, the adventure that Nehemiah had. It was very different to any that we will probably have. Yet, there are some similarities. So first, let's start with prayer. Nehemiah prayed a lot. And if you get a chance, do read chapter 1. Because he's praying into this situation before we land at chapter 2 in our passage that we heard earlier. He prayed a lot, and he sometimes prayed on the spot. If you look at verse 4 of the chapter we read, the king said to me, "What are you requesting?" It says then, "So I prayed to the God of heaven." Think about this. The king had just asked Nehemiah a question. Nehemiah didn't have long to think about his response. You don't keep kings waiting, especially when they're looking at you, expecting you to say something. He had to think on his feet, and he did the best possible thing. He prayed. We talk about this sometimes as being an arrow prayer. You know, a prayer that you say on the spot, you just, like, you fire it up like an arrow. Often it's like, help. Often that's what we're saying. And I think God is fine with prayers like that. I pray many of them. What it shows us with Nehemiah praying prayers like this, "Lord, please give me the words. I don't know what to say. I haven't got much time." What it shows us, I think, is that he was a real man with a real faith, with real needs. And he depended on his God, our God, to meet those needs and to lead him. I imagine that many of us are scared of praying at times. Let me clarify that. It's easy to pray, and it's good to pray, "Lord, please send somebody to help that person or situation." But sometimes God might want us to be part of the answer to that prayer that we prayed. And that's why I think prayer is risky, because God might use us in response. And that's what happened with Nehemiah. One danger of being part of a big church like this with a paid ministry team is that we might think, well, we pay somebody to do that. And to an extent, there is some truth in that. Yet, we are all part of God's church here, as are the other gatherings, and we have a shared vision, shared values, a shared mission, that we are all called as a family in Christ, as his body, to carry out together. God will be speaking to all of us about how we live, how we give, how we serve. And these are all parts of going on adventure with him. Nehemiah made himself available to God. Even though he had a full-time occupation, which I don't think he had that much say about, he made himself available to God, which prayer helps us to do as well. So I believe it was his prayer life, not just the help, the arrow prayers, the short ones. I think it was his being faithful in prayer, which chapter 1 shows us, that prepared him for adventure. He knew where his help came from, and so must we. What's key for us in prayer, I think, is that we all need a prayer life. It's the best way, closely followed by things like Bible reading, and we do need that too, and other means of grace. But a prayer is the best way that we have constant communion, or can have constant communion with God. Because he speaks back to us if we are willing to listen. And he listens to us as well. He is very good at listening to the cries of our hearts, the thoughts of our minds. But our prayer life is only as deep as we want it to be. Sadly, it is possible to be a Christian and have a very shallow prayer life, which leads to a very shallow relationship with our Father in heaven. But he loves us so much, he wants to bring us on further and further into his love, his plans, his purposes. He's got so much more for us. If only we dare ask, and if only we want to pour more of ourselves into him. Or empty ourselves so much that he can pour more of himself into us. I wonder, are we praying in all circumstances or just when we need something? Corrie ten Boom once famously said, "Is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire?" I wonder how we would answer that question. God was beginning to answer the prayers of his people. He was beginning to take them back to Jerusalem. But what they really needed was a change of heart, because it was the fact they kept rebelling against him, that they kept getting into mess after mess after mess, which eventually resulted in their captivity in the first place. Only God can bring about a change of heart, but what it requires is for us to surrender our lives and hearts to him in the first place. This is a bit of a spoiler for you, but Nehemiah's mission was successful. It would be better for you, though, if you read further on in the book and find out exactly what happened. The walls did get rebuilt, but God's people, the Israelites, and the world still needed a saviour. And in the fullness of time, in response to many arrow prayers, many cries for help from many people, God sent his one and only son on an adventure that would change many, many lives and the course of history. Jesus has come to rescue all who will believe in him. He died for everyone. Sadly, not everyone will believe. I wonder, have you asked Jesus to rescue you personally? Because he will. We are dead in our sins without him. So the first point I want to make about this, about prayer, that we can learn from Nehemiah, is no prayer, no adventure. No prayer, no adventure. At least, not a God-led adventure. If we want our lives to be consumed and led and empowered by God, we need to be people of prayer. This dying, broken world needs us to be people of prayer. The second thing that I think is a helpful sign that we are on a mission with or from God is opposition. And almost, I think we need to expect it. Not that it will come all the time, but I do think it's inevitable that when we stick our head above the parapet, if you like, and say, yes, I'm following Jesus, come what may. I do think it's inevitable at some stage that there will be some opposition, and it will be tough. I don't know about you, but I love adventure stories and films, especially if they've got hobbits in them, or dragons, or starships, or wizards. You can probably think about some of the stuff I like to read and watch. I wonder if you like adventure stories too. There are different kinds. There's tons in the Bible. But whatever the adventure, I love it when the main character has an obstacle to overcome. In fact, I'll go so far as to say it's not an adventure if they don't have one. If a story or somebody's life was all sunshine and bubblegum and rainbows, first of all, it wouldn't be very real. And second, it would be quite boring because there's nothing going on that stops that they don't have a goal. And if they do, everything's falling into their lap. That's just not real. I find that dull. We've often got barriers to overcome, have we not? As Christians, Nehemiah had some big barriers. But imagine if they'd just rocked up at Jerusalem and the walls had been done. Just wouldn't happen, because God had given him and his friends an adventure. And he calls us to do things too that only we can do. By his grace, he chooses us to do specific things, whether it's a word or a deed, to share our faith in some way, like Tim Jackson, to help other people want to follow Jesus. He's got things just for us that other people can't do in the way he wants to use us. What a privilege for God to want to use us. Nehemiah had to live in that calling that he'd been called into. He had to say yes to the adventurous life of faith and see it through. And the same is true for us as well. Let's look at some of the obstacles facing Nehemiah. First of all, getting the king's approval to go. Well, that wasn't a given. If he just asked, especially in his own strength, and God hadn't been in that, I dare say it wouldn't have been, yes, of course, go. I don't think that would have happened. God was involved, but he had to get the king's approval. He had to source the materials, which the king, again, thankfully by the grace of God, was able to provide. Nehemiah had enemies. If you look at verse 13, you'll notice that he inspected the walls at night. That's quite a strange thing to do if you want to get a good look at something that needs building work. He had enemies. We can read about them in verse 10. Sanballat and Tobiah. We've heard about them already. They weren't happy with the plan. And in verse 19, they ridiculed him. Later on, the workers had to guard against physical attack whilst they were rebuilding the walls. I wonder how many of us have been ridiculed for our faith. I wonder what opposition looks like for us. Somebody called me a Bible basher a few years ago, and I thought, yes, persecution. I wonder what we need to overcome on our adventures. Probably, if we're being honest, our own hearts, our own pride, our own sinfulness. Perhaps our fears. There was conflict between Nehemiah and the builders and some of the Israelites who had not been taken into exile. Made me think, how often is there needless conflict in the church from brothers and sisters in Christ who perhaps haven't checked their hearts before they've spoken or acted? And actually, before we point the finger and, you know, try and look at the speck in someone else's eye, what did Jesus say? Take the plank out of your own. We've got an enemy of our souls. And he wants to seek out, frustrate, and destroy as much of God's plans as he can. It's really important that we don't do the devil's work for him, but that we love one another. Jesus said, by this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. I wonder if we find ourselves being persecuted or if we are convinced that God's purposes are being opposed. I wonder if we are praying blessings on those who persecute us. We don't want God to smite them. We need God to bless them. Nehemiah's adventure began when he spoke to the king and made that audacious request, breaking courtroom etiquette, I'm sure, by showing his emotions to the king. But it really began before that when he prayed. When he prayed, he began to see that God was at work in the answers, but also that he would provide the resources. So we've talked about prayer, we've talked about opposition, and the third thing for the pop of adventure, I think, is power. We have the power to do whatever God calls us to do. I don't know if you feel that in your life. Nehemiah had power. He had authority. After all, if we look in verses 7 to 9, he's got letters from the king. He's not just got verbal permission, which other people can say, well, I don't believe you. He had written permission with the king's seal of approval. That carried the king's authority. Those letters did. He went with some of his own people. That's more resources. And a royal escort. That's even more. In chapter 5, if you read further on, he becomes appointed governor. That's even more authority for him in Jerusalem. And he had the materials as well. God used folk like Nehemiah and Ezra to see his people home. But we know that wasn't the end of their story. And becoming a Christian is not the end of ours, nor is being baptized. The adventure that we are called to is the Great Commission, Matthew 28. Jesus says, all authority in heaven on earth has been given to me, to him, therefore go. And that therefore go, that passing on of his authority, is for us, his disciples. He says, behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age. So that when we are teaching people about him, when we are sharing his love, helping them to obey him, modeling obedience in our lives, helping people become baptized and grow, this is what we have been called and equipped to do. We've been given the power by Jesus to do that. And what struck me recently about the Great Commission, about our adventure, is its co-mission. It's not our mission. It's something God does with us by his Holy Spirit. So in being co-missioned, we become co-workers. Jesus is still with us. He's promised that. His Spirit is at work in us if we want that to happen. Daily, we have an assurance by the Holy Spirit within us, testifying to our spirits that we are children of God. We have an assurance that God is with us, and it's this that makes everything worthwhile. It makes opposition worth it. When we feel weak, we can boast in our weaknesses like the Apostle Paul did, so that God's power can rest on us. A question that's helped me in recent times is to consider, am I aware of being sent daily by God? If you think of it, daily life is where our mission happens. Daily life is where our adventure happens. Do we have an awareness, church, that every day God is sending us into the mission field of daily life to go on adventure with him, be led by him, and do what he's calling us to do? Daily life is where life is lived. It's where the action happens. It's where we have to rely on God. It's where we have sometimes to send up some of those arrow prayers, help. But God is faithful. Whether it's words or deeds, I wonder what God would have you and I do today or this week on adventure with him. No spirit, no adventure. That's the fact of it. We've been speaking about walls and building. That was Nehemiah's adventure. So let's just consider for a moment the name change that we are undergoing here. From South Parade Baptist Church to Cornerstone Baptist Church. Nehemiah had to inspect the walls to know what condition they were in, to get the lay of the land, if you like, to know what was needed to come next. Similarly, much prayer has gone on here and across the church in recent days, months, and years to get the lay of the land, to see the state of things. Most importantly, to know how God is leading. Jesus is our cornerstone, and as Peter reminded us last Sunday at the All Together service, everything we do is, or should be, about Jesus. He is the solid rock on which we stand and on which we build our lives. Jesus said that he, not us, would build his church. Our responsibility for all of us is to be faithful daily in living for him in what he's called us to do. This is where it's really important that we know our values. A couple of weeks ago, one person said they knew our values. I, as a person of faith, believe that number has gone up. By the end of this course, I hope we will all know what the values are. Because if we don't, we won't be praying about them. We won't be trying to live them with God's help. They'll just be words on a page. If they're values, they are things we cherish. They are things we own. They are things we with God's help and by his grace, live together. Jesus will build his church, and if we are faithful in embracing adventure together, doing what he's called us to do, even if it seems completely out there, he will bless that obedience. He always does. And we will grow in a number of ways, spiritually, numerically, however else. We need to grow, or he wants us to. But just because God gives specific people a call to go on adventure with him, like Nehemiah, like us, doesn't mean everything will be easy. We can lose so much in going on adventure with God. Remember the covenant prayer that we prayed first week in January. It starts with, I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. And it goes on. Such a bold prayer to pray. Well, John Wesley, who wrote that prayer, also prayed that God would take his reputation as well. I wonder how much we cling to our reputation and what other people think of us, when the most important thing is what God thinks of us. We may as well give God our reputations as well, if we are serious about going on with him. If we are serious about following him, then come what may, he is our Lord. He is worth everything we can give and more. We are nothing without him. And the more we behold him, the more we love him, the more we are changed. And ironically, the more of ourselves we surrender up to him, the more we truly find ourselves, the more we truly find that we are becoming the people God intended us to be all along. Because he loves us too much to leave us as we are. Do you want to be a person who prays? Even though, at times, God may well choose to use you to be part of the solution. Are you prepared to embrace adventure with God, even though at some stage, opposition, costly opposition, is inevitable? Remember, we can do all things through Christ. From the All Age Talk. Do you want to serve God with power that comes from the Holy Spirit and resources that come from him too? Maybe you're sitting there and you know there is more to life than what my current Christian experience is showing. Maybe you dare to believe that God has more for you than you dare to believe right now, or than what you've experienced. Well, he does. He has more for all of us, individually, and more for us as a church. I'm going to pray for us in a moment, just to close. But I would encourage everybody, if what I've been saying has been resonating with you, to look at your notice sheet, and look at that notice that talks about the 28th of March. Because if you are hungry for a deeper walk with God and you want to share Jesus more effectively with others, we're talking about adventure here, then please register to come on that day. It has great potential to be transformative to all who come with a hungry heart and a greater desire to be used by God. Let me pray for us before we sing our final song. Father, thank you so much for heroes and heroines of the faith. Particularly this morning, we've been thinking about Paul first, but more recently, Nehemiah. Thank you so much for what we can learn from how they followed you. Even though it will look different for each one of us, pray that you'd prepare us more for the adventure of following you that you call us to daily. Father, may your Holy Spirit fill us again. May we be people of prayer, people willing to follow you even if or when opposition comes. May we know the power that comes from you, enabling us to do all these things. And Lord, as we follow you more closely, may we see those things you've put in our hearts that perhaps we're currently not bold enough to vocalize. Perhaps we don't. Lord, teach us how to dream with you, how to hear from you, and how to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen.